For 3.5 years, Bill de Blasio has been the city's official gadfly. As public advocate, his job has been to point out where the city's fallen short. And that's been the primary message of his campaign up until 2 weeks ago when he catapulted to the front-runner status in polls. Now, as WNYC's Anna Sale reports, he's trying to show voters he also knows how to run things.
Look, the numbers are staggering.
Bill de Blasio is standing in front of a bank of microphones on the steps of City Hall. This has been de Blasio's natural environment since he was elected public advocate. He's not a natural schmoozer. His 6-foot-5-inch frame requires a lot of awkward bending, and his booming voice can sound like one part academic, one part scold. But he's practiced at emceeing press conferences.
She is one of the great voices of conscience in New York City.
He speaks first, then invites speaker after speaker to underscore his point, answers reporters' questions, and it's a wrap. Once he steps away from this podium of microphones, his focus shifts to strategy as he walks off with a supporter.
The more elaborate Jay-Z and Harry thought, first of all, that ain't gonna happen.
De Blasio looks up and sees I'm still there with my recorder.
Hold on, are we recording here?
Is that all right?
Well, no, actually, I'm just talking to someone, actually.
This is de Blasio, campaign operative, the guy who was a hired consultant for years before deciding to become a candidate himself. His aide says they'll see me at the next stop. Candidate de Blasio is back an hour later, visiting a senior center in Prospect Lefferts Gardens.
No one in this whole city has done more for the empowerment of people from the Caribbean.
The crowd starts murmuring as a teenager in a blue T-shirt, basketball shorts, and sneakers makes his way to the front of the room.
There appears to be a TV star here.
It's Dante, de Blasio's 15-year-old son. He and his prominent afro have appeared in both de Blasio's television ads so far. And he is a hit in this church basement of Black Caribbean American seniors. Una Clark, the Jamaican American former councilwoman, makes sure they know Dante is one of them.
And the truth is, this young man has some roots in Barbados. Mm-hmm. They were trying to make it Jamaica, but that's all right.
De Blasio's delivery softens with his son beside him. They sneak smiles at each other as they work the room, with father occasionally draping his long arm around son.
He's very huggable, don't you think?
Yes, yes.
Everyone has that reaction.
Dante is huggable and a strategically deployed asset for the campaign.
Is this your son?
It's my son Dante.
Your real son?
The real son.
Is that your real son? That's the question from Vincent Lewis, a retiree who lives in Brownsville, Brooklyn. Before de Blasio showed up, he told me he decided 2 months ago he was voting for Bill Thompson, the only African-American in the race. But when the de Blasio father and son come up to shake hands, he stands up to greet them, and he's impressed.
You know, I didn't know who he was. I didn't know he had a black wife with black kids, you know.
So will he change his vote?
I might think about it, you know. He seems to be all right with what he said he's going to do, you know.
This campaign stop was a hit. And as we head for the car, de Blasio is in good spirits.
Welcome to our cozy, fuel-efficient hybrid.
De Blasio sits shotgun. Right. Dante, an aide, and I are in the back.
Dante, you did a good job.
Thank you.
De Blasio's mixed-race family is a central part of his pitch to voters. It's also absolutely central to his identity, one he made for himself as an adult.
I had to learn how to be a father.
Bill de Blasio was raised William Wilhelm. He changed his name to de Blasio, his mother's maiden name, in his 20s, but he was 7 when his father left.
He was a very troubled person by the time I came along. For me, I knew him, unfortunately, almost always drunk. I knew him as an alcoholic.
Just as de Blasio fashioned a new name for himself, he also built a new family centered around politics with his wife, Shirlane McRae, whom he met while they both worked for Mayor David Dinkins.
It's always been a part of who we are. I think the fact that Shirlane and I met in City Hall, that our earliest discussions were about, you know, both of us searching for a way of creating a family that we had not found to that point, and also our social commitment. And we knew the two were going to be intertwined. For us, there isn't a separation. I mean, the personal is political.
That's not just activist-y language. It also comes up when we talk about his home life and how he relaxes. He likes baseball and the TV shows The Good Wife and The Wire. I ask his favorite character on The Wire.
I love the aide to Carchetti. That's a brilliant and very realistic character.
Not the mayor himself or the crusading police commissioner, de Blasio picks the mayor's aide.
He has one of the best lines in the whole show.
The scene is early in the new mayor's term, he explains, and he's meeting with a police official who says,
"Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind me asking..."
The mayor looks at the aide, and the aide looks back.
And the aide turns to the police official and says, we mind you asking. One of the greatest blow-offs in history. We mind you asking. So, I love that. I love that character so deeply.
Before de Blasio was ever a candidate for city office, he was that guy, as Hillary Clinton's Senate campaign manager, under Andrew Cuomo when he was Clinton's housing secretary, and with David Dinkins, the last Democrat to run the city, a time Republicans and business interests like to call the bad old days before Giuliani and Bloomberg. Standing along the Bowery, I asked de Blasio how he thinks about his former boss.
Do you think Mayor David Dinkins was a good mayor?
He was a good mayor. I think as part of the administration, I think we, you know, did some good things, made some mistakes, and it's definitely a mixed bag.
That was a long time ago, before the Clintons and Andrew Cuomo reconstructed unreconstructed liberalism. So I asked de Blasio, the former strategist, if the most progressive candidate in the race can really govern New York City in 2013.
I call myself a progressive because I think it's the right phrase. I'm someone who is all my life, you know, fiscally conservative and cautious. I understand government has to function well for people. I understand we have to drive a hard bargain in our dealings with labor, all those types of things. But what I think is being missed is that progressives believe in using the power of government to protect the public's interests.
But those hard questions about balancing different public interests don't always make for great fodder on the trail. Like when he's stopped by a group of police officers on his way out of a mayoral forum in Brighton Beach. They want a picture.
Retro. Keyword retro. Retro. He doesn't mean fashion either.
The cop means retro pay, since police, like all the major public service unions, are working with an expired contract. After the laughs, de Blasio pauses, seeming to consider this could actually turn out to be more than playful banter.
A little negotiation going on this week.
Then the former campaign hand turns to his young staffers and the matters at hand.
Thank you very much. Good briefing, guys. Good job.
And de Blasio gets into the black SUV to head to the next campaign stop. For WNYC, I'm Anna Sale.